Blog okay. Talk Radio.
Get up there. Come on.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. During the show, you can join the conversation by calling 646-727-3206. Or join the Transformation Cafe live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Okay. I just love our new intro. I just think it's so awesome. Well, we wanted to thank everybody for joining us tonight, or if you're going on demand after hours, that's always cool, too. Driving around with us and just getting a little bit inspired by the Transformation Cafe, woo-hoo, that's just very, very awesome. We've got some of our regular diners that we have pulling up to the table here. So, Miss Gloria, how are you this evening?
I am just doing wonderful. Thank you so much for asking.
Cool, cool. And how is it in beautiful San Diego tonight?
You know, tonight is amazing, and following last night with the blood moon, it was foggy this morning, and it was just so great.
Yeah. I don't know if a lot of people are, this show's on February 15th, tax day, woo! And last night there was a blood moon, and can you tell them a little bit about the blood moon for just kind of people who not familiar with that when it comes to an eclipse?
Well, I looked it up last night because I was unsure of it, and in the LA Times they were talking about it, and they had a live feed to it, so it's still recorded. It started at 10:20. It hit its epicenter, I guess, around just after midnight, and then it went on until probably, I think it was still going, it was almost clearing, and I was headed to bed about 2 o'clock, 2:20, and so it was really great. It was when the Earth gets between the Sun and the Moon, and the blood red aspect of it, from what the article said, was different particles of light that were being reflected, because I guess if you were on the Moon looking at the Sun with the Earth in between, you would see the Earth, and it would have been blanketed in an orange circle.
Huh?
And
okay.
So it was the light from the orange circle that was reflecting through the atmosphere of Earth that created the blood red aspect on the Moon.
And I had somebody tell me that it's like having a sunrise and a sunset simultaneously.
We
were seeing
like,
that's what I heard.
I don't know their definition of that, so I can't.
Yeah. But doesn't it sound kind of, that sounds romantic to me. I don't know why. Like sunrises and sunsets simultaneously. It just sounds
so good. I went outside and watched it, and it basically was looking up at the moon and watching darkness cover it.
Yeah.
And it never really went out, but it was much clearer because they had NASA with the telescope looking at it. It was much clearer online than it was seeing it. But it was really nice to see it, you know, like one-on-one from the perspective of being in front of my house.
Yeah, they were seeing it. The Griffith Observatory, they had to close down because there were so many people trying to go up there to be able to see it through the telescope. They got swamped. Yeah, they got, like, swamped. I was telling my friends earlier today, I just said, well, they just need to have an eclipse party next time. There's going to be another one on, like, what is it, the 12th or 13th or something like that of October. So that's...
Yeah, I read it was going to be the 18th of October.
The 18th of October? Okay, that's our guest, Mr. Ian. Hi, Ian. Then we have Mr. Jamie. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm unmuted. No, this is Mr. Jamie. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
And you are unmuted.
And he's muted.
You are. Yeah. Well, sometimes we need to mute you, okay? You just get a little crazy on the show, so we need to mute you. It's okay. Did you see the eclipse?
No, it was overcast in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle did not see the benefits of the. Well, you know what? Everybody's
saw
probably
photos of it.
A little too crazy.
But you know what
it?
I wanted to say? It was a full moon and people were acting crazy anyway, regardless
yes,
of the blood moon.
Yes. And our guest tonight is Ian Kirkpatrick. He is an artist, and we're going to talk about art tonight, which I thought would be a wonderful topic. And Mr. Jamie, being a tattoo artist, I'm sure he's got lots to say. Gloria and I as well are just all lovers of creating art and doing different kinds of stuff on an art level. So I think it's going to be a really wonderful conversation. So, Ian, do you have anything to say about the eclipse before we move on?
Yeah, I guess. I would say, like, I didn't see it last night, but I would say the blood and moon and I have a deep connection with each other.
Oh, wow.
I would say that
okay.
because I did a painting for the studio that I work at, actually entitled Blood Moon. And it's a very abstract painting where it's just like a reddish-orange moon with like a very light white highlight to it with all these colors is kind of around it, like radiating from it. And in that painting is also this abstract idea of like trees and branches like twirling and like just kind of wrapping around each other and overlapping that blood moon. It's pretty interesting, you know.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. So
but
it's kind of
I didn't
you,
see it last night, but if I didn't want to see it again, I'd probably look at that painting. I did not see it last night,
unfortunately. The real thing doesn't compare to your creation expressing its beauty, right? There we go. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, I think we're going to have an eclipse party in October, so just so you know, if you want to stay up or whatever, we're going to figure something out. We're going to have an eclipse party and have a telescope up there so we can all just see, you know, we can just start howling at the moon or something. How about that? That sounds like a lot of fun. Anyway.
Yeah, that'd be quite a party.
Yeah, it will be quite a party. We're going to have a good time. So Ian Kirkpatrick is a friend of mine, and we got to talking the other day about a little bit about art, and he teaches art at a local what level of education do you do that at?
It's all levels, really. It's a studio in Rancho Cucamonga that we cater to all levels of people that have never painted before or who have painted and want to learn more techniques, and even to the more advanced that come and just want to paint for the relaxation and enjoyment of it.
Yeah, there's a really wonderful place in Rancho Cucamonga, which is called the Purple Easel, and it's actually this place where you can go and for 1, 2, or 3 hours, they have different levels of paintings that you can do. You don't need to have any preconceived notions of that you're a painter, an artist, and they go step by step, and they teach you how to blend colors, how to be able to put the paint on the canvas, and by the time you leave, you've got this thing that you can be proud and hanging on the wall.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, and they say we bring out your inner artist with every stroke. So there you go. And their website is purpleeasel.com. So if anybody wants to go check that out. Now, do they have more than one location?
One more time, what was that website?
It's purpleeasel.com.
Okay. www.
Okay,
just checking.
Yeah, are you
going
to go there right now?
Check it out.
Okay,
well, no, I don't have a computer at home, but I'll check it out
okay.
tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, you do want to check it out. And actually, there's a really great there's a local TV station that they do different, like, what's in the Inland Empire kind of shows. And the guy who's the host of this, he actually went to the Purple Easel and he checked it out. He actually made a painting, which was pretty cool. So it gives you an idea of all the different stuff they have available. Because they do private events, and then they have all different kinds of, you can pick different, subjects for the paintings and things like that you can do. And they actually even do some things that are well-known artists, like Van Gogh and then Monet and things like that are there, that are available as well. So how did you get into working at the Purple Easel, Ian?
Well, I just saw this ad on Craigslist one day. It was like a few years ago about teachers needed for an up-and-coming studio that was opening in Rancho Cucamonga. And I've had teaching experience before, like teaching teenagers, teaching young kids, even teaching adults. I really wanted to know what it was all about. So I just responded to it and applied. And I've been there since early May of 2012. And they just opened in April of 2012. Oh. So I've been there for almost for the long haul.
Yeah. And, he stands up on a little bit of a stage, and then you've got all the tables and stuff out there with all the purple easels, with the, with everybody's got their canvases out there working on different stuff. So we were talking about art itself, and you were talking about how so many people come to these different classes, and it's really a therapy for them. You want to talk a little bit about what you've seen and discovered with watching people being able to just come from a level of creating things?
Yeah, I mean, people love to come in and just express themselves creatively, and that's what we encourage there. We have a lot of people that return. You know, one reason why I ask them is, you know, why they keep on returning is that because they enjoy it. They found something that they can express themselves into, you know, creatively or just to spend time sitting down, talking to friends, listening to some music in the background and putting paint onto a canvas. Even the method of putting paint onto a canvas and creating something can be very therapeutic to somebody, you know? And so we have a lot of people coming in and they really enjoy their time there. And they do it to escape from work, from home. They come to our studio just to relax. And that's the kind of environment that we want to happen there. We encourage the creative environment and we encourage the, you know, relaxing or fun having environment.
Don't you think that people just even, you know, coming into an environment like that where you're being encouraged to be expressing yourself with this empty palette and this, you know, this empty canvas, it just really gives people a permission to just to tap into a different part of themselves that their normal lifestyle is just not going to be creating for them.
Right, exactly. I mean, talked to several customers that didn't think that they would enjoy something like that. You know, the surprising thing is that a lot of our clientele are women, you know, of all different ages. And we do have, like, a lot of men returning to our studio. And even the males that I talk to say, this is a really fun activity. You know, I never thought I could do something like this. And within 2 hours, I could do something like this. And I really enjoy it. So it's open to anybody to do. And the thing that people don't realize is that once they try something new, that they may be open to so many other things that could be, you know, a relaxing activity.
Now, when it comes to, because the purple easel really gears it to where people actually walk away with something they could actually feel good about and hang on the wall within just, you know, with the allotted time for, like, the 1, 2, or 3 hour sessions that they do. Have you seen levels of people just confident on a sense of, like, just their personal level of, you know, wow, if I could do this, I can do just so many other different things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there are people that come in that seem very timid in starting something like that, you know, who come and say, I can't even draw a stick figure. My response is always, well, good thing we're not drawing stick figures here. And just get into the mode of being confident enough of doing something, an activity within an hour or two, and then leaving with the product that they're happy with. And so at the end of 2 hours or so, I talk to that same person again, and they'd be like, I really enjoyed what I did, you know, and I'm kind of unexpected of what I could do. And they leave happy. So it's a nice transformation of them coming in with this sort of very timid attitude and then leaving with a very, you know, self-assured attitude of this is something I actually can do. So I'll be back again. You know, I love it when I hear customers say, I'll be back again, because then they have the confidence enough to come back and do another painting.
Now, one thing you said to me that I thought was really interesting, that I really want to get Jamie into this part and Gloria, if they, you know, have something they want to share, is that you're saying that, you know, that there was just people just find this peace within art and within the method of that when they're involving themselves in it. So how do you see somebody being able to find peace when they're doing something like that?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just this idea of, this is funny, this is kind of a very, a little story I was telling somebody else, like, while I was at the studio, that even the motion of applying paint on a canvas, you know, and going, like, between different colors to create, like, this blend of harmony between these two colors to make a whole completely different color. When I was explaining this idea of going back and forth between the two colors, I used the Mr. Miyagi expression of wax on, wax off. You know, go in between and just let loose. So it's that kind of idea of this harmonious action of applying the paint on the canvas where they can just find a more of an impactful relationship between their arm and the paint and the canvas.
Well, part of it, don't you think, is kind of like, it's just like almost when it comes to any kind of like, I want to think of like Tai Chi or Qigong or something like that, where you're getting into this flow and working with the energy.
Right.
You know, you've got the flow and things like that. So what do you think of that, Jamie? You have that
what
going
do I
on
think
with
of the flow?
Yeah.
The flow. Well, and art being peaceful, is that what you're talking about?
It doesn't sound like a strange question.
I don't think. Go ahead one more time.
With the tattooing of people, is there a certain level of? I mean, I know they're getting poked, but you've got a pain element to that when they're getting the tattoo. But isn't there some kind of do people kind of have just a different sense of themselves when they've got that level of working with you in a way of being creative?
Yeah, ideally, hypothetically, in a ideal, perfect world, that would be great, you know. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work that way, and sometimes it does, sure. I don't know about tattooing being peaceful in the sense itself of being a little bit of a sensation and as to the being in the present as you could be by making an indelible mark. But as far as art goes, myself, I'm an artist from way back. I didn't start tattooing as my first art, most definitely. And I went to school, and I have a degree, and it's helped me quite a bit. But I still enjoy doing other types of art as well. And I feel it's important, and I try to do something every day just to show that who knows, in the future, somebody may have that little piece hanging on their wall after I'm gone. Who knows?
So you still do painting?
Oh, of course.
Okay, of course.
Right.
Of course.
No, I try to keep busy, and if I've been blessed to be able to have a talent where I could make some money and have a career and, you know, make my mark, as so to say, so that's... you know, and I try to help people. I help people that want my help, you know.
Mm-hmm. So a question for both of you is, where do you guys get your inspiration?
Who should answer first, me? I mean, I got my main inspiration from my father, you know, when I was younger. I started because of him. You know, he was a painter. Mm-hmm. He was an artist, you know. But throughout the years, you know, I really – got inspired by the old American illustrators and some of the illustrators that would draw the books that I like, draw the covers of the books that I really enjoyed. So like Howard Pyle or Frank Frazetta or N.C. Wyatt or Norman Rockwell are some of my favorite illustrators.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of get inspiration from them. in the early years, it was my father, but while going to school for art and getting more of an education, it was, I got a lot of inspiration from the old American classics.
Mm-hmm. And like you really had a passion to go to San Francisco and just really dedicate yourself to the study of art for quite some time, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how about you, Jamie? What inspires you?
What inspires me? Having a passion for creating things, and I try to do things by hand, other than because today it's mostly like digitally, you know, digitally it could be manipulated, it could be photographed, manipulated. I try to create my art by hand, so at least it's on the level of I'm creating it and it's my own thing. And let me see. Believe me, it's something. It's hard to say where you get your inspiration. You could have different influences, most definitely. When you're younger, I'm sure it's it could be comic book style art or illustrators or covers of books. And then when you go to school, you learn about a whole bunch of different types of art. And then if you're any good at anything and you persevere, you should be able to do good, you know, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. So what's your focus right now for inspiration?
Just trying to I have so many different things I want to do. It's just trying to figure out what I want to do first.
Okay. I mean, are you doing still lifes? Are you doing landscapes? You know, what seems to be...
I do a lot of collages. I do a lot of just graphic painting. Mm-hmm. I'll do logos. I'll do stickers. I do buttons. It could be monsters or hot rods, you know, stuff like that. Tattoo-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ian?
Well, you know, it kind of depends on, like, sometimes the job, like, what I do. But as for myself, I always like to draw creatively out of my mind or find pictures for reference of, like, animals or the figure and draw that out. But currently I'm drawing inspiration from a couple of different painters and artists to compile, like, one painting. Like, I may draw inspiration from Norman Rockwell for a scene out of everyday life where somebody may go to an aquarium or Weiland in terms of creating like ocean creatures within that same painting, you know, how he stylizes them and paints them realistically enough that really stands out to the eye. Then also taking the idea of Salvador Dali in terms of surrealism and meshing that all into a painting. So I'm using inspiration from all of those three artists to do a painting right now, which I'm currently working on. But everyday life, I just take some inspiration from this and that, you know, art that I see or something that I read and draw that out just to be creative every day and do something.
Okay. So working with the art, and this is a question for both of you as well, is how has that changed you on a sense of your own sense of spirituality?
It's interesting because in terms of spirituality, it's like I may look at something and then see it for as it is, but then look outside the box and just think about what it could look like or how to represent it, you know, in terms of highlighting somebody's essence or an essence of like an animal or a flower or a building, how to interpret that into creating it or making it look more powerful or making it look larger than life. So I try to look at things in a different way of how can I make this normal object look, you know, bigger than life or larger than life? And how can I put that into my art? How can I exude myself as being a larger than life person into, like, my art, you know, because I always try to see things from a different perspective and mm-hmm. think outside the box and think of something more, you know, holier than thou or, again, larger than life.
It's the halo, right? You want to make sure you put a little halo energy going on that, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it makes things a little more energetic, you know, and
right,
interpret
right.
things as have more energy or some sort of essence to it rather than what you see for as it is in life.
Yeah. How about you, Jamie?
Well, I definitely, being in the tattoo art, I definitely, I take it very personal, and I do I believe that when it's actually happening, it could be a little spiritual to the individual, at least, because they're undergoing uh-huh. a little rite of passage. And I definitely put my spirit into what I do for the person. Now, if it's just doing art, I believe, you know, if you make something, especially by hand, or imbue your own personality or spirit on it, I believe that's kind of how I would kind of view it in that direction for myself.
Well, there's just such a signature of, you know, individuality, but yet connectedness at the same time. When you're in that zone and you're creating, I think you both know what I'm talking about when you come from that level. And mm-hmm. so, you know, having an opportunity to come from that, you know, you've got that vision, you're working with the medium, and then really allowing yourself to get into that flow of it's getting created simultaneously as you're, you know, you think you have this vision, but yet it keeps getting just more and more developed and more intimate with the pain and with the image, with everything that you're creating at the time. So when you step back from that and look at it, it just takes on its own resonance, its own you know, synergy that you've created within that image and with that medium that you've worked with. So
mm-hmm.
you're having like moments where it's just like bigger than you, when you have something where you step back and you're like, wow, I created that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I hear that comment a lot in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I always encourage people to step back from their paintings, you know, close to the end of the class and make any adjustments or do that to see like the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so once people step back to take a look at the whole picture and their nose is not right up next to the canvas, so they see all the details that they can pick and nick at so that they don't like it. If they step back from their painting, then they kind of see everything, the whole picture, and they can say to themselves, wow, look what I did in just about 2 or 3 hours.
Right. Well, one thing we're with the Transformation Cafe, we're going to be having we'll talk to Ian and Jamie about maybe having some of their art available online, so you guys can go ahead and take a look at that. And I know that Ian's got a wonderful. You want to tell him a little bit about your rose painting that you've done that you have prints of now. That's a really special painting for you.
Yeah, I did a painting recently called A Dream of 65 Roses, and that is inspired by a disease called cystic fibrosis. And the thing about that disease is that it starts in kids when they're really young. And when children try to say what they have, instead of them saying cystic fibrosis, it's easier for them to say 65 roses. So it's that whole term that I researched of how that came to be. And a picture came to my mind of just a bouquet, a large bouquet of a ton of roses. And inside those roses, you see like some sort of form or shape of a child's face. And the stems of those roses coming down and intertwining like among themselves to make like a rib cage, and rose buds within those rib cages and thorns from the stems stick inside those rose buds to represent the crux of the disease. Because of those that are not familiar with cystic fibrosis, it's a disease where children get a lot of fluid or phlegm in their lungs which makes it hard for them to breathe. So they have to go through procedures of exhausting that out of their lungs. You know, it's very painful for them. And a lot of kids, when it first started to being researched and found out what it was, they wouldn't live that long. They live only to about 14 or 15 years old. But there's been a lot of developments lately of them elongating somebody who has cystic fibrosis, elongating their life, so they may live in their 30s or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I created that painting for the main purpose of selling the original, which I did, and contributing a portion of all proceeds of that sale to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Yeah, so I'll talk with Ian about that, and we could have prints of that available. And like I said, he likes to do 50% of the proceeds will go directly to cystic fibrosis. So it's a way of really being able to give back and know that you're contributing to a larger thing. So, well, thank you for our talented artists that are always here helping us out here at the cafe. And what would a cafe be without the artists out there doing the things that they love to do and inspiring us all? So we just thank you for joining us, Ian, and we'll see you here next time at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.